we're going to get out of six, so I'm going to... We don't have that much to go over, but I want to see where you guys are. You're going to present your text adventure. And then when you present the text adventure, try to have a rough idea of what you're going to say. Because on Friday, you're going to have slides, okay? So you have slides introducing your text adventure. And the main point of the slides is to give the story. So I realize for some of you, maybe your text adventure is not like super elaborate. Even then, you have to have a slide that introduces the game so that it looks kind of professional, so that you can actually present it like in class, basically.
Will we play through it, or is it just like all three of us?
You will play through it. But the first slide would be something like the title, and then the next slide will be like introducing the concept.
Okay.
And then the slide after that will be kind of like references, like where you get these ideas from, you know. So I'm looking for like a good kind of 4 or 5 slides-ish intro to the game. And then maybe the flowchart is one of those, right? And then you play the game.
Okay.
But you should treat it like a presentation, basically. Yeah.
So concept, presence, flowchart.
Yeah. I'll write it down in the Slack homework. I'll tell you this, yeah. So is it clear to people? So you need to have slides introducing the concept, the game, where the references are that you received it, the flow chart, and then maybe a statement or two about why this is cool. Hi, how are you? You just made it in time. So I was just telling everybody that we need to make a presentation for the game on Friday. Doesn't have to be super long. Looking for like 5 or 6 slides. And it's just going to introduce how you got inspired by the game, some references, a flow chart, what the story's about, that kind of thing. And then we're going to play the game. So for those of you maybe who hasn't fleshed out the game like really fully, the slides is your chance to kind of make up for it, like to kind of show the audience. It's like, oh, this is what I really wanted. And, you know, kind of show a little bit of your creativity. And where's Sinan, by the way? Is she here? Yeah. But she's in this class, and I saw her earlier. Okay. So, so you guys maybe let her know, you know, whoever close to her, because I'm not going to repeat all that again. So, today, we're going to talk about objects and classes. We kind of indirectly talked about it before. Today's the lecture to actually do. Hey.
Just to make sure you got it.
Yeah, thank you very much. I know, right? I keep losing them, you know? All right, I'm going to have a whole drawer of hats by the time this is over. Just to get back at Sven, we're going to use him as an example. So, if a class is human, right, then a particular member of that class, for example, Sven, would be an object in that class, right? So, or Elena would be, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to associate with you, Sven, but you're a particular human, so therefore you're an object of that class. So classes are kind of like templates. They're kind of like the thing that specifies the form of what, you know, something would be. Like, so a human is kind of like a class. Furniture, the idea of a furniture is a class. But the specific instances of that are the objects. So those are the ones that you instantiate. You know, remember the P image? P image is the class, right? And then IMG, which is the thing that you put after P image, that's the object that you created from that class. Okay? So we have some particular examples of objects of a particular class here. So classes, you can think of it, the best way I found how to express this is that it's kind of like factories with instructions on how to make an object, right? So you want to build like a green Audi, right? Then you go into the car factory, and the class, basically that specifies the class, right? Because the car factory will make stuff like kind of tailor-made for you. So you tell them green and you tell them Audi, basically. So those are parameters into what is called the constructor of the class. So basically, for example, have you seen that before? Yeah, we saw that before. Like, for example, the audio, the sound file, right? We put in this, and we put in, like, file name, I think, right? So those are the two parameters into that class. And then it built you some particular audio object. So that particular audio object represents a particular file, so it'll be playing a particular song for a particular frame. So that's an object, and the sound file class kind of is the form of that object. So that's the class. So when you instantiate it, like we did with the audio, for example, you're getting a particular green car here. Okay, so again, objects are particular instances, and the objects themselves are going to be made up of variables, functions, and constructors. So constructor is how you build up this object, basically. Like, what particular object are you making? Like, so for example, if it's student, then you give them a name and you give them a student number, it'll give you a particular object, so it'll be a particular person who is a student. So in the class student, there's a bunch of variables that specify, for example, like, you know, things like their name, their roll number, their age, you know, whatever relevant to them. And then the methods are the functions, right? So methods are the same thing as functions, but in the context of objects or object-oriented programming, as we say, they are actually just called methods, basically. Because it's kind of a method of invoking a function, basically. So functions for objects are called just methods, right? So again, what you do is you first code a class that defines a bunch of things, for example, methods and variables. Variables are also called fields in object-oriented programming. Basically, the two things that we have, right? Functions, which are actions that you can take, basically, and variables, which specify certain types of information. And then a way to actually construct them. Alright, so just one more image to solidify the concept. Objects are specific instances, so you have a dog class, and then there's a particular dog object, like, you know, Robbie, and Lavender, and Bromie, you know. So those are like particular dogs, right? And then these dogs have methods in them, right? Like, so the methods are specified by the dog class. Because the dog class, in order to implement that class, they all have to kind of satisfy these things, which it has to be able to eat, to run, to sleep, and name. So the class is specifying those methods. But whenever you build a new dog, they all have those methods. It's kind of like a specified, yeah, that's why it's like a template. So the class is the thing that has these variables and these methods. And then when you actually build something out, you're kind of assured that this actual object has all those things that they can call. So we say that the object implements the class, basically. It implements what the class will actually do. Is it clear? It's kind of abstract notion, but you get it? More or less. So class is the form, object is the specific thing. Any questions?
So classes specify certain,
so
they specify methods of everything within
the class? Yeah. Everything that you care about.
Yeah.
But when you instantiate that, like for example, the actual file, like sound file space file equals something something, right? Or pimage img. So the img becomes the actual object.
Yeah, but pimage is the class.
Yeah, and that img can call any of those methods that are specified in pimage.
So space dot.
Exactly. So you're looking up the documentation for the class, right? But the object will have those methods, which means you can always call those methods on those objects. And they have the variables in there too. And we'll go into a notion of like this public versus private variables. But basically, if the variable is public, then you can guarantee to actually have access to them as well. Any questions? Does it have any questions?
Methods are
get everything? Huh?
This is already predetermined and set up. It's just a matter of choosing the class.
Not in the setup, in the class definition. Yeah. We'll go into that. The setup and the draw, that's a totally different kind of thing. That's more of a procedural part. But now we're talking about different type of programming, basically. More of an object-based programming. Okay, so this is our plan. We're going to specify the class, and then which involves what? You guys remember? The constructor, how you build the object, the methods, and the variables, right? So those three things kind of specifies the class for you. And then you're going to call the class in order to instantiate some object. So the classic example is pImage is the class, img is the specific object that you made. And you remember we did like img equals new something pImage? That's calling the constructor of the pImage.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll remind you. Okay.
Constructor
is the thing that makes a particular object. I'll tell you how to do that. But basically, when you're calling pImage with the new function, you know, remember the new call? That's actually just calling the constructor for pImage class to make something, to give me back something that is of the pImage class. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, import new sound file, like, say, the name of the file equals a new sound file.
Exactly.
They're just bringing it in.
Yeah. So, for example, if you have a dog, it would just look like this. Dog, right? You can put a dog, D equals to new, you know, dog. And then you pass in whatever, like the name, you know? Like, I don't know, sweetie, Okay, so before we go into that, so that everybody can understand, I'm going to make some, remember we have a script to make groups, right? So we're going to call that, let me see where it is, slides, what is that, day four, no, pairing, there we go. So the pairing for today. Drum roll. We have two people missing, right?
Yeah.
Who are missing again? Okay. Don't worry. We're gonna pair up those two people who are gonna, like, don't worry. We're gonna make. It's gonna work. So we're gonna do this. Here we go. Okay. So we have Zena with Aliza. We have Fifi with Ming. We have Ronnie with Brandy, JC with Elena, Zihan with Ye, and Ashley with John. So I think what that means is that John is going to work with right. Oh no, but she is here. So John's going to work with me. Yeah. Everybody get that? John's working with me. And everybody, you got your partners, right? So you're going to have to move around, but you can probably go into the boards anyway. So here's the exercise, okay? The exercise is, give me some examples of like classes, objects, and methods in everyday life. So what that means is I want, like, kind of just give me a class, and then give me some example objects from a particular class, and then tell me some methods that these classes, this particular class would have. So that would be one. So you can come up with, say, two classes. I think that's kind of fair. We have two people, right? Got it?
All right,
let's do it.
Oh, in everyday life, not
yeah, everyday life.
Yeah.
Yeah. have a bad day.
Well, like, if somebody is demonstrating this, then they
start that.
Yeah,
start
that.
I mean, I don't know.
Thank you.
your lovely, your lovely crazy glasses. So, but you guys can put it online on this, right? So the cloth is food, and then there's kind of a particular Chinese food with a particular Italian food, particular Japanese food, right? Is that the idea?
No, isn't it a geographic cooking method, utensils? But you're right, we can do that too.
Utensils?
Like the utensils you use to eat it. Are those the methods? Yeah.
Well, where's the name of the class?
It's food, right? That's the name.
No,
yeah,
I mean
geographical
food.
Oh.
Because food is just like,
yeah.
So I think what you're getting at here is that kind of sub-classes. So food is a class, and then the Chinese food is some sub-class of
food.
And then some particular dish that you just purchased.
Wait,
that is a Chinese object. Chinese food number one. That's why in the board there's all these numbers, right? Let's just say it's like a particular card. Like
no, was in the,
whether they're open toe or not, whether it's price. But where's the, like, what's the action? And what? Because he's like, I think he don't know, like, heels. Because they're kind of like the thing that describes a shoe. But then you also then have,
like
wear or take off. Exactly. Shoe number one back put on. So that would be the man. So this is meals, yeah, so these are particular meals, and this is exactly what you want. You have particular objects from the meal, the subclasses from different meals, and then you have some methods like being, you know, be put somewhere, the meals are kind of very,
I love it.
because that thing is like a particular, dog, a particular cat. So, yeah. And then you can feed it and.
Eat my best.
Yes, you can do that. You can assign it. Yeah, same thing here. Our supply, and then we have different classes of our supply. These are subclass, so we have these called these children classes. So this is like the parent class.
Like baby parents.
They can load and think.
Okay,
then we have a. We have. Is that a summary job?
It looks like a summary.
Nice, I love this. This is great. And so you can assemble this, so you can purchase them, assemble them, consume them, particularly aliens, and then 46 aliens. You can count them, you can find them. Yeah. Good job. Nice. Nice, man. So I got some awesome cookies. Okay. Nice. That was a fun exercise, so let's keep going. Okay, so now we're going to do some live coding, right? So so you get your processing stuff out. I think I'll just leave it up here. Okay, so now that you know what classes are, we're going to actually implement some classes, right? So you get your processing out, and then what you want to do is you want to write a setup and draw. That has nothing to do with the class part yet. So actually, I guess I'll do it with you so that, you know, it's more clear. So I'm just going to follow this, right? So I'm going to do processing. So the way you make classes is you do the following. So first you have this guy, right? And then in this guy, basically all you have is void setup, you know. So I guess we'll make it 600 by 600. Can everybody see the screen more or less? Do I need to zoom in? Yeah. Smooth is just a function to kind of make the graphics nice and smoother. We haven't used that yet, but, you know. Yeah, smooth. Okay, and then in the draw, in the void draw, just gonna be background. So we're gonna just reset the background. Okay, actually it's fun to do this. So then what you do is you have to make a class out of it, right? So the way that processing works is basically you have to put that within the same kind of folder. So what you do first is you go in here and save it, okay? So I'm going to go into our folder. We don't have one yet. Make one, day 8. And then we're just going to call this. So this is just the name of the script. This is not the class yet. So day 8, demo 01, classes. Okay? So this is just the name of the script. And then what you do is you do here, this little tab here. You do a new tab. Okay? And then you type the name you want your class to be. I'm just going to call it ball instead of bouncing ball because shorter. Okay? Up to you what you want to call it. So when you do this, it automatically creates kind of a new file. Okay? Now, you could put your class files in here, too. It'll recognize that, but it's much better to kind of have everything separate. So every single one of your classes should kind of be in their own file.
And
It will be in the same folder if you named it properly. So, so when you go to 8, right, it has this folder, and inside that folder it has, yeah. So if you do it this way, everything will work out. So you save the script's name first, and then you open up a new file for the class that you want to implement. Did everybody get that?
Open a new file for the class?
Right here. This one, new tab. And then name it whatever you're going to name it.
And it's automatically saved it?
Huh?
And it's saved it automatically?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's very easy to make new classes in processing. Yeah. So, and then what you do is you just, in the ball script, you do class, right? So this is the first time we've seen this, right? So this name has to correspond to whatever you just named it. And then this is just saying, you know, it's telling you that you need to have some variables, right? And you need to have a constructor. These are the things that we need for methods. These are the things that you need to have in a class, right? Actually, technically, you don't have to have variables, but usually there are. Okay, so good so far? So good so far, okay. So, my ball, oh my god, is a particular instance of this class ball. This is why I didn't say bouncing ball, by the way. Let's just fill out what we're just gonna go by this, right? So it's gonna have a float, right? Yeah. So these are the variables that the balls have to be in a certain location in processing, right? So these are variables. And then it needs to have a constructor, right? So right now, we're just going to do the simple version, okay? And just have a, like a simple constructor, like that doesn't kind of do too much. It just builds it. But later on, we can specify things, right, into the ball. Like, how big is the ball? You know, where's the ball? How many balls do you have? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I know, this joke is going to be, yeah. Alright, and then another thing we have some particular function that's called, and this is up to us to decide, but we're just going to call it display. And then, so this is like, the way you call this will be my ball that display, right? So instead of, so you display my balls using, oh my god. So you display some particular ball number one, you display ball number one by calling a method on the object. So it's a new way of programming, right? You don't procedurally call a function that does some other stuff. You call the object will invoke its own function. Yeah.
So when you call it display ball, you don't have to say display. Is that what you're saying?
Excuse me?
So when you're trying to call that function, you just call the class, you don't call display, call call. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like you don't have to draw, like basically you can do it, like theoretically you can do like, you know, in your main function ellipse, and then you kind of do, you know, my ball dot x, my ball dot y, right? To draw it, but instead of doing that, you do all your drawing within the ball. Like the ball handles the drawing, and then you just say ball that draw, or excuse me, ball that display.
Oh.
So it's a different viewpoint of looking at things, because everything is an object, and you just call the object to do what it's supposed to do, right? So in this case, I'm doing 2020, but these are actually, if you notice, these are parameters you can specify, right? So right now, I'm just putting it there to start with, but these are actually parameters that you can change, okay? So that's the ball, right, for now. And then in the main program, what you do is you declare the ball itself, right? So again, you do a ball, and then I'm just going to call it ball 1. Yeah, let's call it ball one. I don't know.
Oh, so ball became a class?
It's hard to read the one, though. Huh?
So ball became a class?
Yeah, yeah. Ball is a class. That's the main, that's the biggest point. The point is that because you wrote the other file, knowing that's a class, it knows that that is now a class.
Oh, okay.
And you have to write that before you can call it.
Oh, and we specify the parameters of, what can be done with it, maybe?
Right now it's very simple. It just draws an ellipse. Yeah. But we can change that class to make it cooler and cooler. Oh man, I guess I have to do it with ball 01. There you go, that's easy to read. ball 01. Okay. Yeah. So and then you have within the setup you're gonna say ball 01 equals new ball. And remember, in the constructor, we're not giving it anything yet, right? So it's just a parentheses, nothing. Yes?
So I was trying to do a let's end of the play, but the function
does
not
exist. This one, right?
Yeah. That'll write
everything. Okay. So you mean what you're saying is when I write this code right here, what you're saying is that ball01.display won't work? Is that what you're saying? Does everybody have what I have in the ball here? Does it work for everybody?
Yeah.
Make sure you have semicolons and everything. And nicely indented like this. Okay, so we can actually just play this now, right? Because it's just a ball that's in kind of the center. We can make this ball a little bit larger, I guess. Oh, but you can see it, right? Never mind. So you can just see this ball. So this ball just got displayed. That's all it was. Right? So very simple. Everybody got that, right? Everybody got this ball, right? So you could have obviously just said ellipse 200, 200, whatever in your draw function, right? But this is giving you an additional level of abstraction, which you can now use over and over, basically. You can create multiple balls and have them bounce with each other and, things like that. Okay. Next step. It's a little bit hard to read, but so the next step is to have the constructor accept something that's not just default, because you want to specify your ball, right? So for example, you can do the position, right? So it turns out you can't just write x and y here because your values are x and y. You have to call them something else, like for example, x1, y1 or something. You see what I'm saying?
Because are things supposed to be predefined variables? Excuse me? Are these supposed to be predefined variables?
Yeah, so you have something that's x and called y already, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that you passed in, sorry, not int, integer, floats, right? Yes, float. So you have something that's called X and Y already. So you just want to, you know, like these are the ones you pass into the constructor to make the ball. So you just want to, basically right now, here's what you do. You just want to say something like this, basically, right now. You know what I'm saying? So when you build a constructor, you tell, okay, I want a ball that's like at this location, right? You could have passed in the size too, by the way. But right now, we're just passing the location. Everybody understood that step?
So if it's within those two, if it's within the parentheses after the name of the class, then that determines a location?
Yeah, that, you're building a ball by giving it its location. So that now you can build multiple balls at different locations. That's the point. If you don't care about location, you can pass something else in and accept kind of a default location. Right? Okay, and then let's see. And then in the display, obviously, you're gonna now, you know, just use your variables, right? So this is perfect use of that because now you displaying the ball using its own information. You don't need to, you know, that's why you can just call itself. Right? Okay. And then I'm going to go back to here. So in here, we're going to change the constructor. And I think they're just going to call it 400-400. So you notice that it's actually giving me an error initially because it's now accepting a different thing. So I'm giving it 400-400. The idea is just I'm going to display the ball at 400-400. So in other words, I'm making a ball at that location. Right?
Oh, because if we had given it an actual value in the ball class, then if we called it as a specific thing, to just specific location in the original sketch, it wouldn't be a gift. Or would draw a point. That's a plan. We changed it from 200 to 200 to.
Yeah, we could have done 200 to 200. It's the same thing.
But it still works.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can pass in anything you want.
Oh, okay.
I'm just passing it 400 to 400. I think the code was set up to do that, but so the idea basically is just that you're now building a ball based on location. You're giving it the constructor. You're telling the constructor, right? And then let's see, and then everything else remains the same. And let's just run this. So now I think they put 400 to 400 kind of just to show that you could put it somewhere else, right? So when you run this, you see a new, you know, you see another ball at 400 to 400, right? So nothing really has changed here. It's just that now you're utilizing the fields from your own class to do everything, right? So far so good? Okay. The next step is kind of the bigger change, right? So the next step, we're going to add in some features that allow the ball to travel on its own, right? So the first thing you do is you do a speed X. And for now, right now, we're not going to pass in everything. We're just going to set it to be this. But you could pass it into the constructor as well. Okay? But for right now, we're just going to specify. So you have a speed X and a speed Y. Constructor does not change because we're just specifying the speed right away. But then we're going to need some new functions, right? Because, for example, you have a function called move. And what does the move do? It just updates the position based on speed. Right? So you kind of have seen this, but just not done the same way, right? So before everything was done procedurally, now you do it within the ball class. Right? And then similarly, this other method is also something that we've seen. But now it's going to be done here. So it kind of makes sense because the ball itself bounces, right? So if X is greater than the width, right? So whatever thing you're at after you do the XY speed change, after that, if it's greater than the width or is less than zero, that means it's going to be out of the frame, right? And when it's out of the frame, you just reverse the speed. You just turn the other way. That's where it kind of bounces, right? Okay? So similarly, the same thing with Y, I'm just going to copy and paste. Just be careful when you're copying and pasting to make sure you change everything. So Y, but also you have to change the width into height. Okay? So just, if you're not sure, just type it over. Because this is the kind of stuff that makes bugs, basically. Right? Let's just check to make sure. The Y is compared to the height and also the zero, but it's also just reversing the course. Right? So that's the bounce function. So again, when your code is written correctly, guys, I noticed yesterday, make sure your indents are all very clear, okay? So like, you should be seeing these indentations. Because if you're not seeing them, when you run them, they're going to be like, oh shit, that doesn't work, you know? Because you're missing some bracket somewhere, you're missing a parenthesis somewhere. So just make sure when you're doing the coding is nice and clean, you get these nice indents, right? Every time you do a class, everything within it is indented, you see that? Indented by two spaces. And then when you go into the constructor or any other function, it's indented by two spaces again. And so when you have this, it's super easy to read. And you won't have any very obvious errors like brackets and stuff, you know? Okay? So that's just a good thing to be able to always do. Okay, so now you have a skeleton for a ball that actually does some things, right? And then the key now is to change the program that's calling it so that it actually does like each of those things, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to display it and then move it and then bounce it. We didn't do gravity yet, but it will do that. So let's do gravity as well. So first you're going to display it. So I'll tell you why I'm doing this after I type it in. So, and then you're going to bounce. And then I will also fill in this gravity, but give me 1 second. So let me go back here. I'll go back to that, don't worry. I'm just going to write down the gravity method. So,
question. Uh-huh. The void move,
the void
move, bounce, and gravity, should they be inside the
method?
Inside what?
I mean, it's up to you, but
I'm just asking for your methods, right?
Yes, they're methods. Yeah. Yeah, these are all methods, yeah. So I added a gravity thing because usually balls will basically bounce on the, they will, without anything happening, there's usually gravity to push it down. So this is just giving an acceleration on the speed. So it's basically, you know, remember positive processing means going down, right? So it's reducing the speed. So it's pushing it downwards. That's what the gravity means.
Yeah.
And so this is a method that kind of mimics that behavior. Yeah. It's accelerating downwards. Only in the Y, right? You notice it's only in the Y, not in the X.
Yeah.
So it's literally
goes in the Y.
Yeah. So the reason, again, the reason you have it there is because the ball is the thing that's influenced by gravity. So you have it there. So now, did you guys get this gravity already? You guys got all this? So in the main method, though, you want to kind of go through each of the methods, right? Because when you have the ball, there's going to be stuff that happens with ball, right? You're going to move it, which means it kind of goes to the next phase. So usually you've done that in the draw, but now you're going to just, look, ball, just move. You know, you're in the next frame, move. And then you're going to bounce it, which just basically checks the barriers, right? And then you're going to say, oh, I'm susceptible to gravity. And you can actually see what happens when we turn off gravity, right?
So all these apply at the same time?
Yeah, because we're going to let We're going to make it so that the ball are susceptible to all of these things. Right. And then we're going to display it. Right. So let's just run it like this first, okay? So you can see what the ball is going to do, okay? So you notice it kind of slowly due to gravity. So slowly due to gravity, it's kind of. Anybody getting errors or anything?
Can you go to your ball?
Sure.
Oh wait, anyway.
You need the ball? Up here is fine.
Yeah. No, damn it. That's not cool. Yeah. Oh, because I put
loads. Everybody get this?
It actually, like,
bounces
off the
rails. Yeah. Wait a minute. So everybody got this? Did you get it?
So you need to go back to the ball and then copy the gravity method.
So
is this supposed to pedal at the bottom of the end?
So this right here?
Okay.
This one.
Okay.
Did you copy this one? Okay, I need to get out of this to debug this, but so you put y greater than 0, but it should be y less than 0. Yeah. Yeah, sure. This one? Yeah, that's the class. You want to see this one? Is it not working for some of you yet? Okay.
So
One thing is the clouds that are coming down.
Some sort of copying error. Float x1, y1, right? You put it in. And then you're going to update the x and the y speed. And then you're going to bounce into the speed x, speed y.
So that's one thing, but let's make sure there's... Why don't you try that first?
I mean, this is obviously just,
let's just do XY. That's the other thing, yeah. So if you don't put XY, it just keeps displaying at 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it's going to work. Yeah. That's not the problem. So now it's going to work, because the XY needs to change, right? So in the ellipse, you can't
just...
Yeah, otherwise you just put 200, like, the whole time, yeah. Yeah. Everybody else, did everybody get it?
No, it's not working. They're trying to figure out why.
Okay. It's just copying, I think, because... Most, it's just copying error, but we can... It's good, it's a good opportunity to debug. It's a good opportunity to debug.
So
guys, there's a question about gravity, right? So you remove the gravity, this is what it's gonna do. You see that? Yeah. It's still going slightly down just because, like, I mean, it's not really going slightly down. It's just kind of, there's no Y directionality. Like, this is just like the random initial starting point to make it kind of slightly, you know, tilting a little bit. Yeah. But that's what happens when there's no gravity. There's no, nothing stopping it from going.
Is that like the default speed? Like, in gravity?
No, you can change it, yeah. So, you can also change it, right? So, guys, so you can, yeah. So here. So the reason this is good as a object-oriented programming is because now you don't have to go into the code to figure out what number to change the gravity. All you have to do is you go into ball and you say, okay, I want a stronger gravity. Give me 0.5. That's it. Okay? Now when you run it, you see that? Strong gravity. You see it? So now you have this acceleration. You can feel this acceleration. Yeah, and then when it's all the way down there, it just rolls. It's actually kind of rolling on the bottom. Everybody understood that? So you can change these parameters until they kind of make sense to you. You can change these, like this radius, you can pass as a thing to the ball too, right? So why don't we take just 2 minutes, make radius a parameter to constructor, and do the same thing that you're doing right now. Does everybody understand what I want you to do? So make radius something that I can change about the ball and pass it into the ball. Do you understand? So if you don't understand, ask somebody next to you. The exercise for the next 2-5 minutes. Is make radius something that you can change about the ball. So what would you do? You have to
change the variable.
Right. And you have to pass it into where?
Constructor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just try it. You know, work with, you know, if you don't know, like ask somebody next door. Do you understand what we have to do?
Okay. Yeah, so you know how we have radius 20 right there, right?
Yes.
My the exercise right now is how do I change it so that it's a number that you pass into the ball class. So in other words, you don't know how big the ball is, but you specify in the demo outside that I might want to see 20 or 40 or however big you know it. So the ball class has to, you know what? You get
it?
Okay. So right now, x, y, right? Go back to x, y. So you know how there's an x, there's a y, there's a c, x, x, y, right? Those are all variables as well, right? And then for the x and y, you pass in the number, right? So that means it's like I want to build a ball that's at 400 points. Mm-hmm. So now I want you to also do that for radius. So when I build a ball, I build x, y, and size, the radius and the size.
But you want to change it in radius?
You have to change both. Because in that file, you have to give it the radius, and then in the ball file, you have to make a variable and set that variable equal to the radius.
Okay, I'm
ready
to variable
that
this.
You have to pass it in the constructor. So you have to, the constructor will now be three things. So think about it first, and then I'll give you some, you know, if it doesn't, just try it, and then I'll tell you how to actually do it.
Oh, the age time. Oh, I think it's just a
Did you guys understand? Some people got it.
No, you should ask it in. So, you can
now a new way of programming. The way of programming is to keep this number that we learn inside the class. And then pass it in and just draw with the variable. Okay, so please pay attention to this, because if you don't know how this is done, you're not going to be able to do like Unity Open Frameworks stuff. I'll just say that right now. Like, if you don't understand the next 5 minutes, you're not going to understand Unity Open Frameworks. Like, right now. For now. Okay? So the basic idea was, I have a ball that I can specify X, Y, right? But what I really want is a ball that I can specify X, Y, and how big it is. Because then I can create balls of different shapes, you know, different sizes in different places, right? So the first thing you do, you want to change your class, right? The first thing you want to do is you want to have your own variable that keeps track of the radius, right? Right? So you need a radius, and then I'm just initializing the 0, but it's not going to be 0, right? I'm just initializing. And then the next thing you need the constructor to have it be part of the argument. Because the constructor is what builds the ball, right? So the outsider is now going to tell you what the radius is. Like, you're not going to, like, right now, it just makes it up. It just says, oh, radius is 20. But what you really want, because it's object-oriented, is you want the outside person to specify how big the ball is. Yeah? It's clear so far? So what that means is, this guy is going to equal to the guy coming outside, right? Sorry, yeah, some of you can't see this. So far, so good? So the radius is now a parameter that you can manipulate. So when you're making new balls, you can make different size balls, not just balls of only size 20. Okay? Does this need to...
You can call ball each time, and it'll have the same method, but you can define its location and its radius each time different.
It's not the same ball. It's different balls.
But from the same class.
Right, but they're different objects of the class. Yeah. So, yeah. So just make sure they're different objects, right? So every time I make a certain ball at X, Y location and a different size, that's a different ball. That's why it's like ball 01, ball 02, etc.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else? Does this need to change? The move? Does that need to change?
Something
needs to change. No, that's correct. The move does not need to change. Why? Why does the move not need to change? Exactly. And this is the advantage of object-oriented programming, because object-oriented programming is isolated into different methods of an object, right? So if the radius has nothing to do with how it moves, it's still going to move with that speed and, you know, the way it moves it, then you don't need to change it. So it's a conceptualized, so you don't have to even think about it, right? And similarly, does it have to do anything with the bounds? No, exactly. The only thing that changes is display, right? Because this, you have 20 now, right? And you're going to now do rad. Okay? Everybody with me so far? So now, the guy from outside can build a ball from wherever he wants with whatever radius he wants, right? Given that it's a round ball, okay? So everybody good so far? So, by the way, what else can we do that with? We can do that with gravity too if we want, right? We could, it's kind of weird, but you could pass in gravity to the ball and say, like, you know, I want a ball that's really bouncy. So if that's the case, I pass in a really high gravity number. You see what I'm saying? So I can actually individualize the ball. So the level, the change in thinking is, it's going from the idea of like, oh, how am I just drawing these things? How do I change numbers so that they work out? To how do I conceptualize a particular object having its own, you know, its own properties. You know, like if I want to capture the idea of this ball being bouncy or not bouncy, then I can actually pass in the gravity number there too. Right? So in this case, I want to change the size because I'm going to be making balls of different size, basically. So is it good so far? Perfectly clear? Yeah? Okay. I sense some consensus there. So then here, what's going to change?
The size. The
location.
Yeah. So, to do exactly what we did before, we're going to be 20, right? Because that's what the radius was before. So, if you notice, nothing has changed. Like, there's no change. The only change is I'm now going to keep track of all the values in the ball itself. Right, and when the ball displays itself, it uses the number that I told it to from the outside. That's the only thing that changed. Okay, so let's play it to make sure. So you see that? So it's doing the same thing, but now the advantage is that I don't have to go into the ball and change the radius. Right, like because, you know, then I have to look through how it's displayed. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, how does it display? Why should I look into the display function of a ball to change things, right? I should be able to just say, okay, well, I want to make a ball at, you know, let's say 200, and size 40, right? Like, everything is in that line. Like, I don't have to think about it. I'm just going to make that ball, and then now it's going to start there, and it's going to be a bigger ball. You see that? Is that... It's pretty, kind of elegant, right? Like, it's... Because you're standing from the outside, and you don't have to know anything. You just put in the ball. Now, how would I make two balls? Exactly. So let's just, as this exercise, let's make two balls, okay? So I'm going to let you guys make the second ball. Just make a second ball and have it be smaller and have it start from a different place. That's all it needs to be. Okay, so make another ball to show in the screen and have it be smaller and be from a different place.
Constructor needs to pass in. That's the first thing. Yeah. See, that's what I didn't understand. So you need to pass through the...
Right, so now I'm going to create another ball. So the ball, you made a ball, but nothing has happened. So, But you get the right idea.
Did everybody get it? Or are in the process of getting it? People are getting it. Lisa, are you getting two balls? Okay, good. So I'm going to show you how this is done. So you do another ball, right? So ball 2.02. And then you need to make a new ball and specify wherever you want, right? So for example, just putting it in a different place. And then you need to do all these things for the second ball, right? So we're going to shortcut that in just a little bit. But if you do this, you're going to have a couple balls bouncing around. One that's bigger, one is smaller. And of course, you could do what Ronnie did before with the... Was it Ronnie who did the two balls hitting each other? Oh yeah, right. So you can do that in this code. That's a good exercise for you. Like, how would I have the balls bounce off of each other? So that would require a little bit more complicated thing, right? Because you can either give the ball as a parameter to another ball, or you could do it in the draw of the outside function. So it's, that one's a little, you have to think about how you want to do that. I would do it past one ball to the other ball and see if they collide. Yeah, so you pass ball as an argument to the ball class. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a little bit of a, you know, detour, but because what you want to do is you want to compare whether the two balls are close to each other, right?
Yeah.
So you pass one ball and then you check the x, y of the two balls.
Oh.
Yeah. It's more complicated, but yeah.
Okay, everybody got that? Okay, so the next thing we're gonna do is basically, instead of having all this like move and whatever, we're just gonna have kind of a like a, if you will, kind of like a shortcut to make things easier, right? So we're gonna go into ball and then we're gonna write a new function at the beginning. We're going to call it run. So it just, run just means kind of like, you know, do your whole thing, you know, like do what you do best, ball. And what do you do, ball? Is you move, and then you bounce off of the wall, and then you accept the gravity, and then you display itself. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of like a shortcut, you know.
So is that part of a method, or is it?
That's a new method, yeah. But now you have a kind of nice method that takes care of everything. So it makes life a lot easier. Did everybody copy this already? So you have a new function that's called run, and then it does each one of those things, basically. Yeah. And it's good to put that up here so that all these guys below you are kind of like the things that you're calling, you know, basically. So once you have that, how would I change the code to be able to use this method?
You just take all the dots. You just run?
Yeah. Exactly. So you just do this, right? Instead of display here, you're going to do run. You see how simple it is? I can make like a gazillion balls if I want to, right? And actually, I think we do make a gazillion balls tomorrow. You see that? Yep. Yeah. So you can now think about how you would want to have humongous amounts of balls, right? So this code that we have remaining, what it does, I'm not going to copy it. So this thing on the right here, what you can do is you can just make tons of balls. This is why I call my balls ball, not just bouncing ball, because it's like you have to write a lot more code. but you could do this. You could just make a shitload of balls and just, you know, have them start at different locations and do them. But what else? How else can you do this? Like, how else can you do, instead of making tons of balls?
Could you add like a variable and then like plus plus, or like have it so like ball one is like moving all the parameters and like putting different parameters in.
Oh wait, but you gotta make new balls though, right? For each of them. Are you saying the same ball?
Okay. Like if you can draw and you have like one of the variables or one of the parameters like recursively going back on itself, and then it'll make more than one. Mm-hmm. Like it'll continue with theory. Yeah. Not explaining that very well.
It's really good conversation because you guys all have different solutions. This is great. Okay, so basically, I think what John is saying is like you're kind of making balls within the ball, kind of, and then you just recursively tell it to display itself. Yeah, I think there's something there, but you just have to. The level of depth has to be specified from the outside. So you need another parameter into the constructor. It could be like an interesting like visual thing. But it might not represent what the ball kind of really represents. It's kind of just like your, you know, coding scheme kind of thing. And then actually what Brandy says was also very interesting. She's saying that instead of having a ball in ball, you just make that ball class an array. So in other words, when you make a ball, it's not going to be called ball, it's going to be like balls, right? And then you automatically get an array already. And for you, you would actually specify the set size of the array from the outside, right? So in other words, the guy who's making the set of balls, he'll make either one ball or five balls or whatever ball. That's also really interesting. And then Phoebe is also probably the most, I would say the most kind of elegant solution is to just make an array of balls. Like, because, you know, one ball is, you know, you notice this code being repeated, right? So what you say is you just make an array of that, right? Then you can just change, in your for loop, you can change your balls to whatever you like, right? So you can make them in a grid or you know, however. Like, they can all vary according to size in a different way, and that way your ball cost doesn't have to change. But your method also works, because you can also make another class that is an array of ball. So in other words, you keep the ball class, you make another class that's like, you know, ball array or something like that. And in the ball array, you just specify, like, you know, how big, how many balls you want, and then it will make that number of balls. So you have like another additional level of abstraction. So none of those are like correct or wrong. It's just how you want to conceptualize the problem, basically, like how you want to conceptualize the world. And when you're coding in like open frameworks or especially Unity, you know, there'll be things like, you know, like a collider, and then a subclass of a collider will be like a capsule collider, because there's a particular shape of collider. Or you have a sphere collider, that's a different shape, but they're both colliders. And then you can just keep making that over and over in your scene. So it's kind of like the same kind of idea. You're just seeing kind of the basic level of how that's happening. Does everybody understand this, by the way?
The collider example, we were just making an umbrella class of colliders.
Yeah.
And you're putting with those two existing collider types into that umbrella class.
Yeah. Yeah, and in Unity, what they like to do is just make kind of, if you have many colliders, you can kind of group them, and, you know, it's sort of like an array, basically. Yeah. So, does everybody understand the object-oriented programming stuff? Yeah? Okay, so now we're gonna show what we have so far, from between now and 6 p.m., and, we're gonna go around the room. And then, we're not going to do this screen thing, just kind of turn your computer over, so that every, you know, kind of... Actually, why don't we all just, like, kind of huddle up next to the person, and then... But what I want you to do is give the one-sentence summary of what this story is first, and then describe your kind of inspiration, and then show your game. Okay, and then we're going to start with Brandy, and I'm going to move... Hey, you get over with fast. Yeah. So you guys ready? Let's do that. So, all right. Everybody, let's huddle up behind Brandy.